Hey, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up out there? Welcome to the internet. I'm your host of
the giant host of the internet.
I am the host of the internet. I'm the leader of the underground, underweb revolution.
And I'm the parasite.
And we're the parasite, we're whatever
you
want to call it.
You're the host, and I'm the parasite.
Yes, hey, welcome back, guys. Welcome back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Joe Show. Hey, thanks for coming in and listening to a place where Kayla and I can vent. The filmmaker, the illustrator, the writer, the conqueror. That's us. That's what we do. We do as much as we can, and this is the place to hear us. We don't do many. We don't do any message boards or what you call it, whatever you guys want to do. We don't troll. I don't know. Maybe we do troll. I'm not quite sure. But this is the blessed... Bah, I ruined it. This is, in fact, the best place to hear us. What do you think, Carolyn?
It's also the blessed place.
The blessed. We blessed it.
Is that what you meant to say? Best, but it came out as we are the blessed.
We are the blessed. I tried to do my best to do a little one of those speed runs as we listen to Night Call off of the Drive soundtrack. But Carolyn, we got some news. Is there anything that's happening this week or any week actually?
Well, this week and hopefully for the next 9 weeks. Again, we are still pushing and still campaigning for the Cartoonist Studio Challenge, which one person will win a run on gocomics.com and an e-book publishing deal, which I don't know exactly what that entitles, but my comic strip Curls is in the running, and I'm here to report that we have made it to the second week.
The second week, that's fabulous!
So I don't know how many people, you know, necessarily they cut off each week. I don't know how exactly the details of the contest are run. I just know that I have to campaign for votes and I need your help. And since you are an awesome listener of the Carolyn and Joe Show, we don't charge any money for this show. It's
free
entertainment.
Free entertainment.
And
we give it to you for
the
free.
The least you could do.
And we bust our ass to make this thing entertaining.
The least you could do.
I don't talk like this in my normal life.
The least you could do, again, is to basically go on this website and register on it. And it's thecartooniststudio.com. And all you have to do is register. It takes 1 minute. And then you can vote for Curls every 6 hours. And that's 4 times a day. It will tell you when the next time you can vote is.
Yeah.
So just keep clicking that button, sign in, click that button, and hopefully we'll make it through all 10 rounds. So what do you think of that, Joe? Have you been clicking the button? I know you've been, because we've been, like, trying to keep track of every 6 hours.
Then why did you ask me?
Well, you're supporting. And I want to
give... Why did you ask me
I'm clicking. I want to give you credit to show you that Joe has been clicking.
You know, and you know, it's true. I do support quality. I'm a big, you know, supporter of quality entertainment. It doesn't matter if I'm your friend, your foe, or what. If you're doing a good job, if you're doing something that's honest, I will support you, sir, or ma'am, or whatever, miss. The best way to go about that. That's just the type of person I am, Carolyn.
So, I mean, on the site, basically, all you have to do is register on thecartooniststudio.com and then search for Curls in the search box. CURLS, and you will find me, and you can click to vote. So it's as easy as that. And also, voting is pretty cool when you vote, because it clicks, and then your vote is cast, and then it tells you when to vote next.
So definitely vote for Curls. And also, Magic Bullet number 4 is coming out.
Yeah, Magic Bullet number 4 is coming out, and there's going to be a release party in Vienna at Big Planet Comics in Vienna, Virginia. And you can come to the release party. Everyone's invited. And there's going to be a barbecue in the parking lot. And
12 to 3, right? 12
to
3.
That is on, when is that? March 3rd? It's a Saturday?
It's probably the first Saturday of March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So 12 to 3, Big Planet Comics in Vienna, Virginia.
That's right. So there you go.
And we will be there, too.
There you go.
And guess where else we're going to be?
Where?
Might as well announce this early.
Why not? Go ahead. We're at the news section. The news.
The
new news.
We need a... Do you think we need a bumper for the news?
I don't know.
Like, the news.
Here, this is it.
With Carolyn and Joe.
Go ahead.
I like that. This is the news with Carolyn and Joe. We're here to report that we did get tickets for WWE Raw when it comes to Washington, D.C. And I plan on making some awesome signage.
But tell why. What is the reason why we're actually taking this effort to make this signage?
To support our comics.
No, but why? Besides that, where are we?
We are located in the 5th row, hopefully on TV side.
But
But it's like fifth row in that corner where the wrestlers sometimes go to fight, like outside the ring.
So in all truth, you might see us at any shot where they go to towards either the announcer booth, anytime there's there, or anytime they fight in that area.
Like that corner.
Yeah.
Like the, okay, let's say you're looking at the match and to the left is the entrance aisle. And then to the right is that corner.
Basically right side camera side.
That's where we think we're sitting.
Right side on camera screen. So yeah.
So we're gonna have some signs and we're gonna try to like promote.
We're gonna try to cause a ruckus.
And one
there,
of
guys.
The ideas that Joe had was, you know how people have like the Cena sign where it's like you can't see me and the hand is going in front of the face? Well, then once Joe pointed that out, then I was like, and you also did print that out. No, you actually pointed that out. Like, I was like, oh, we should have Curls with her mitten hand doing that. And it would be awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can make that happen. And hopefully I can think of some other clever signs and maybe Joe can also contribute to that. And maybe we are getting CM Punk shirts. And we are going to wear CM Punk shirts. So and maybe I can find a white scarf for Del Rio.
Yeah. So there's the news, guys. Take it with you. Take it with you. And remember it for the rest of your lives. So, yeah, we are, as we record this show, the Grammys are actually happening as we speak. And I have not actually watched the Grammys. We just got back. And it's, I guess Carolyn started reading off, like, I guess, tweets or whatever, Facebook messages, whatever this social
tweets.
Network thing that's happening. People
tweets.
Are saying about Chris Brown winning a war or people loving Chris Brown and all this stuff, and Whitney Houston died, and this is what a crazy ass week that's happening.
Well, I do have some commentary about Whitney Houston. First of all, obviously when anybody dies, there's a little bit of sadness.
So Whitney Houston died basically Saturday night, and like I actually found out about Whitney Houston dying on Facebook, and it's funny, I did not retweet it.
It was more towards the evening, or like when in LA time was that?
Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Saturday night East Coast
Saturday
time.
Saturday evening.
Yeah, so yeah. And
how
then
did you find out about it?
I found on Facebook, someone was like, Whitney Houston died, what the fuck? Or WTF.
They're like, first.
Yeah, or something like that. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll wait till I start yelling that out. I got to get the confirmation, you know, on the other sources.
On TMZ.
On the other sources. So then other people started doing it. I was like, cool, it's time for me to announce personally to other people. So, of course, the first thing I was I contacted my mom, and because she was a big Whitney Houston fan, boom. She's like, oh my God! Yeah. And of course, you know.
The word hit the street.
Then it was official. Whitney Houston died. I'm not going to say that I'm the biggest fan of Whitney Houston, but I'm also not going to say that I love it whenever people die. So the thing is, though, you know, it sucks whenever a person dies. I wish I was a fan. I really, she's quality. She had really, really, you know, she had the talent to go. You know what I mean? And
I think when
I was paying attention to her life, she was going down. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off? You gave the sad face. I was still going. Sorry. Go ahead.
I think that, like, for you, she's, like, a non-factor. Like, you acknowledge that she has talent, but it doesn't really, like, infect your life if
well, you wanna
she's
hear why?
Dead or not.
You want to hear why?
Sure.
Well, because growing up, you know, of course, Whitney Houston was, again, my mom's favorite person to play music. You know, she used her song in like everything. So no doubt I will eventually just get super annoyed with it because I didn't connect with that style of music. I felt it was like it almost killed me and also was overplayed, and it also represented that time. So of course after a while I just grew to be like, oh, I don't really like this music anymore. I can't really stand it. It's just, you know, that's just how it happens naturally, but it doesn't mean that the talent wasn't there. Talent was amazing.
See, with me, like, you know, there's certain artists, like, also back in that day, for example, like, Michael Bolton was kind of big. Like, I can't get into Michael Bolton, but if he were to die, I wouldn't really, like, be impacted as much. But even, like, with Whitney Houston, I'm not, like, super impacted. But my thing about it that I need to talk about is that I don't understand, honestly. Like, first of all, it's sad that she died. Obviously, let's just get that off our chest. Like, you know, it's sad when almost anybody dies. But the thing is, first of all, it didn't really surprise me. And the sad thing is also with Amy Winehouse, like, just died, like, a little bit, like, last year. You know, within 6 months, right? So it's kind of like, those were two great voices and people that had a talent, Even though I don't own their records, I can acknowledge that they had something to offer and they had a gift. And at least they got enough exposure that they were able to share this gift while they were on Earth. But the sad thing is to me is that how come everyone knew about these people's tragedies? Like, I don't even follow Whitney Houston or Amy Winehouse, and I knew that they were, like, in deep trouble. Like, me as a person, obviously I'm not close enough to know them, but I didn't do anything to help. Their close friends didn't do anything to help either. Like, and then you hear them, people talk about them after they're dead. Like, for example, like, when Amy Winehouse died, you just saw Russell Brand everywhere being like, oh, she died, and, like, I love Amy, rest in peace. And it's like, well, you didn't do anything to, like, help her, as far as I know. Like, and with Whitney Houston, apparently, from what I heard, was, like, even 3 weeks ago on the radio, I was driving to work, and, like, they were like, poor Whitney, she's, like, asking any celebrity that she even remotely knows to, like, give money to her. Because I don't know what she was using the money for. Maybe it was, like, drugs, and she had, like, no money. Like, I don't even, first of all, know how you can be Whitney Houston and be, like, the top singer of the 1990s and have no money now. Like, I just don't know how that's possible.
Wait a minute, the 1990s top singer?
Yeah, she was, like, she was up there. Or 1980s, 90s.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what, you know, whatever decade. You know, she kind of overlapped a little bit. But I'm just basically saying, like, she had, like, huge hits. She was a hit maker. Like, how can you have, like, zero money? Like, straight up zero.
It was that crack cocaine, man.
See, because, like, but then what's messed up, too, is, like, she's asking for money, most likely for drugs. And, like, that's kind of gross for her.
I'm not going to assume. I'm not going to most likely for drugs.
Well, you know.
It's a high probability that it could be.
It's a high probability that, like, she had no money because of drugs or something like that.
And because that is something that happens.
You always heard, like, tales of people, like, saying, like, oh, yeah, she lost all her teeth and stuff like that. Like, who knows if that's just, like, you know, a tall tale. But it just basically gave you the vibe that it was like, man, Whitney does not have things under control. She's, like, under the influence of drugs. It's really sad. But then, like, you know what? No one helped her. And I don't understand how you can be, like, loved by everyone all over the world, and then no one helps you. Like, no one gives a shit. That's what I'm saying. Like, I am, like, concerned about our society and how everyone, like, milked Whitney for all her money and this and that. Like, you know, obviously you can't have that voice that lasts forever, but she didn't take good care of herself. And, like, to a certain extent, I feel bad that she died, but to a certain extent, like, I can't feel bad for her 100% because she ruined her body, she ruined her voice, she was into drugs. And I'm not saying, you know,
And I'm hoping all this stuff you're saying is pretty much true to the day, though. Because I've never heard, because I know even, like, I heard rumors or stories of even with Amy Winehouse, you know, got out of rehab, was trying to make herself better. I don't know. Was that something you heard that Whitney was trying to get better? Because I know she dropped Bobby Brown, or, you know, I don't know who dropped who really. But
I honestly don't know her at all. But from what I can say is, like, there are certain people with drugs that get better. You know, some people have to go to rehab, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I don't know how many times Whitney Houston went to rehab. I don't know the full details, but just to know that she lost all her money and that she was into drugs and stuff like that, it just doesn't sound good. And also, it's like, why did she die so early? Again, we don't have the details of how or why she died. But it's almost like, you know, I'm just upset at other people around her and around Amy Winehouse that didn't do shit. And then now everyone come out of the woodwork and be like, oh my gosh, I love Whitney Houston. Let's sing her tribute songs and, like, all this other stuff, and it's just, like, a thing now to, like, love Whitney Houston. Like, to me, that's gross. Like, if I was in trouble, and the thing is, Joe, the whole world knew about it. Like, I, or you, or anybody could have physically helped Whitney Houston, or tried to. I don't know how to get really close to her or anything, but I'm just saying, like, no one helped her. To me, that's gross. Like, Whitney Houston is probably friends with, like, a whole bunch of singers and, like, a whole bunch of celebrities. How come no one, like, helped her?
Well,
like, I know that it only goes so far. Like, if you're the person that's abusing, you have to be, like, in charge at a certain point, and you have to, like, be the person that makes that decision that's, like, I need to get off drugs. Like,
and that's usually how those things, like, rehab, I assume, pretty much work. But it's also, There's a lot of times where, yeah, it's in good nature to help someone, but sometimes you do have those friends where you know they're so deep and you want to help them, but at the same time, they're just going to fuck up your life. And they keep on fucking up your life to the point where you're like, well, if you don't want help right now, I'm not going to give it to you because you're freaking screwing me up. You know what I mean? There comes to a point like that. Yeah, it's like there's that point like, well, if you don't want to help yourself, then that's it, man. You know what I mean? What can I do?
And it's so messed up that like drugs messes up your whole body, because even if, you know, apparently she also, you know, had a daughter and a whole, you know, she had some things in her life that she needed to take care of. And it's almost like, you know, the drugs ate up so much of her that it's like, how could she even concentrate on her family and more positive things? It's just sad that people get so much involved in that world.
And, you know, I'm only assuming that's how she died. I don't know how she died either.
You know what? I heard somewhere, again, internet rumor, but I heard that she, like, drowned in a bathtub. So part of me wonders, it's like, well, what, maybe she planned to do it right before the Grammys so that she could be remembered. But I don't know for sure. I mean, obviously I wasn't
there.
You're
already going to be remembered if you have some sort of hit.
Well, also, it's like, to me, it's the timing right before the Grammys.
Yeah, because everyone loves the Grammys so much now.
From what I heard also, that what was happening in the, it was like, I guess the Beverly Hills, one of the Beverly Hills hotels.
Yeah.
What was going on was that, I think she was in the fourth floor. She was in a relatively close floor to the ground, let's say. Third or fourth floor or something like that. And they were trying to, like, revive her. And then, like, right below, a few floors below, everyone was getting ready for the Grammys, you know, decked out. And, like, partying. So, I mean, that to me, like, if I had one of those X-ray visions and was, like, looking at the building, that would have been pretty amazing. Visual, just to see like somebody upstairs, like a legend, dying, and like apparently she was already dead when the help people came to revive her, so she was like already gone. But like then right below you know you have this legend, and then you have people right below that probably have no idea that she's even in the house, you know, that are like partying it up and like probably not even thinking about Whitney Houston,
because they probably haven't thought of Whitney Houston, you know, just years. just really like a lot of people honestly haven't thought about Whitney Houston in a long time, because I mean
didn't,
like,
she have that reality show?
I mean, in all part I don't feel like she's been as relevant even in the music to me. It's like, but at least now, like, you know, because you had Adele come out and you have all these, you know, female musicians are coming up, like the solo ones, you know, like the singers are sort of reviving, coming back in full force. So maybe it's like that, you know? Maybe it's like that. Maybe that's the way music sort of works.
You do always have that transition and, like, the passing of the torch.
It almost seems like, it's weird how it almost seems like that's the way, I feel like somehow for music, I feel like there's only one way to pass the torch, and it's sort of sick to say that, but it has, the only way to make room is to kill them off, or the ones have to pass away in some form. It's like Elvis had to die to almost, like, to give the others a chance to breathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do understand that. But in general, you know, it's sad that she died.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's sad that she didn't use her talent to the full capability.
Well, I don't even know if she has it. Maybe she did peak. Did she peak?
And if she did...
Because I would say Celine Dion peaked. I'd say Celine Dion peaked.
You know what, though? Celine Dion, though, and I don't enjoy most of her songs... I do like that Because You Loved Me song from Up Close and Personal. I've never seen the movie, but I remember seeing the music video on VH1 when I was younger, and I have a decent fondness for that song. But besides that, Celine Dion does have her... Doesn't she have, like, a Vegas show that's on, like, every day? She puts on a show.
So,
like,
she acknowledges
that she's always hitting the hits and making monies.
Well, I'll say that she's making money. She already made the hits, and now maybe she just doesn't want to. Because I believe maybe being at the top or being that, it's not as important.
Think about it this way, though. She has one location that she can be at every day and do one or two shows a day, or however many a day. and all of her fans come to her.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome if you think about it.
And that's set right there. That's a good business plan.
People probably come from all over the world just to see Celine Dion and hang out in Vegas for a couple days.
Yeah, and Chris Angel too. I mean, that seems to be the way to work it out.
I mean, I think that that's actually pretty awesome if you think about having your own theater and having people come to you. You don't have to tour.
Yeah.
You can just hang out there. I mean, if it works for her, then that's awesome. Whereas Whitney Houston could have done that, something similar.
Yeah.
So I think also Celine Dion lives a like lot better life. She it seems like she has a more stable family and takes care of herself.
But also I believe maybe there's that sense of like when you reach a certain level of fame, people just are like, well, they can take care of themselves now, who cares? You know what I mean? I always feel like
that. But it's still like, to me it hurts a little bit as a human being to know that she needed help and everyone in the media and everyone knew about her problems. Like, everyone in the whole world knew about her problems, and, like, yet no one was able to be there in her time of need.
Yeah, but to be honest about that, we have our own problems.
We do, and when I'm not worrying about Whitney Houston.
Just because she wrote a song, does that really mean that, like, I need to go stop everything?
By the way, she did not write I Will Always Love You. Dolly Parton wrote that song.
Exactly. But I'm saying is that, like, you know, we have our own lives. It's like, I really don't care about celebrities in general. You know what I mean? It's just the way I am. And there's a certain level of that just sort of makes me sick, because it's like the celebrityism isn't made by the celebrity themselves. It's made by the sensationalism that's brought around them. So it's sort of like, well, I respect the artist. I respect the hard work that goes into it. That's the part I really admire. But when you look at like a Kardashian or something like that, I'm like, I could give less of a fuck. Because it's like, you haven't done anything inspirational.
That's like the lowest level of celebrity is a Kardashian.
Yeah, but like when people are coming up these days who don't know what quality, you know, like work is, they think like, oh yeah, that's all it is these days.
Well, everyone, I have heard, you know, word on the street is that everyone does, you know, all these young girls or models or whoever, they just want to actually look like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, those same people don't even know who Whitney Houston is.
Probably not.
Not that I'm saying I'm a fan of Houston, but I'm saying there's that generational passing.
Yeah, there is. I feel like the generation passing is like 15 years at this point. It's not even like a full generation. It's actually probably less.
I mean,
even every 5 years.
You gotta think about too. The Return of the Rock. You know, his first match came back in his first wrestling match was September was in Survivor Series, right? WWE was expecting huge ratings. It's like the biggest act, biggest person, you know, the biggest superstar, world renowned, every way. And the truth is, the matter of that is that it barely did a buy rate pump. You know, it barely did a bump in the buy rate. And then there's part of it was saying like, well, The Rock was big. His peak was almost like more than 10 years ago, so to speak.
Yeah.
So sort of like those people there, or even before that, 99, 2000, you know, that era, that prime Rock, people today don't. The kids who are coming up, those younger Cena kids, they don't know about that. So it's sort of like you got to remember that at the same time. You almost do have to be relevant, you have to be almost reinventing and be up there, which is always a challenge.
Such as like Madonna.
If you want to, you know what I mean? If you want to.
Yeah. Well, I think, again,
not like, saying that I'm genius on that.
The sad part to me, again, is like, okay, maybe Whitney Houston did peak at I Will Always Love You. And that was a huge hit and that was a huge song. And in all honesty, I would not expect, you know, once you get to that level, it's very hard to, like, have another huge, huge, huge song again. Such as, like, for example, I read an interview with Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, and he was even saying, like, you know, he's created other stuff. He's done, like, you know, Life is Hell comic strip almost every day forever, and he's even done, like, Futurama and a whole bunch of other stuff. And he's said, like, he doesn't think he'll ever be able to make another Simpsons. Like, another product of that level of The Simpsons again. And I agree with that. Like, he probably will not. Like, it will basically be the most impossible task. And he's come to terms with that. And to me, that's the equivalent of, like, peaking. Like, Matt Groening, you know, has peaked. But The Simpsons will live forever. The Simpsons is on a postage stamp. You know,
I feel like it's tough to say that he has peaked, because like at the same time,
his cartoon can live forever.
But at the same time, The Simpsons, it's created its own world.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But is he peaked creatively? Because Futurama stuff was pretty amazing. That was like a total different. But when you
most
speak,
people don't
but,
know what Futurama
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but at the same time,
if
when
they
you're
don't watch
yeah, but when you're basing it off of quality in that genre, at the same time, it's sort of like, well, there's certain things that are different. It's like, I guess when you're speaking creatively like that, popularity-wise, you'll probably say like he peaked, but almost in that same vein, it's like his creativity keeps going.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this.
No, I don't think he's like given up or anything.
No, but what I'm saying, I feel like with creativity, it's like if you keep doing it, there's always an opportunity. Like you only go down if you stop. But if you keep making it in a way, there's always an opportunity to break new ground. Whether it's popular or not is subjective. You know what I mean?
Well, didn't Whitney Houston make a new album recently? She did.
I have no clue.
But I think she did. I remember seeing somebody post on like Facebook or something being like, "Girl, Whitney, I just got your album." It's like a year ago.
But it's weird.
They're like, you still got it, girl, or something like that.
I feel like it's weird with music because sometimes you have bands that are just three albums. You know what I mean? It's like it's weird to sort of judge that. You know what I mean? It's like, how do we know that she's grown?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard like the new music, but I mean, I must say
I watched a lot of Futurama because I'm like, wow, that's different than The Simpsons, but it's like it's. Yeah. I was like, and you can take it in different directions.
But what I'm saying is, like, I Will Always Love You is obviously her landmark showcase hit,
off the soundtrack of The Bodyguard.
Yes, I mean, such as like Celine Dion, she has the Titanic song.
So like all these, just like in this the opening song by Love Fox and the Night Call, that's the soundtrack. Soundtracks have awesome songs.
So I feel like, you know, in terms of like another comparable singer, I would say Celine Dion is right, you know, to that semi-equivalent of Whitney Houston.
I'm just not a fan of that style of music at all, that solo singer singing up there dancing.
But you can acknowledge that they offer a talent.
I can acknowledge that they can sing, they can hit those notes. I can't acknowledge that I would not buy an album, and I'm not going to...
There's something for everyone, but what I'm saying is that I am upset that
Whitney
Houston...
And I really don't
like
that people grow up wanting to be like, I just want to go up there and sing like that and be like a diva. But it's part of me, like, musically, I'm not saying professionally, but musically, I'm just like... It hurts me because it's sort of like the diva sense of it kills me. I don't know.
You just don't like the term diva?
No, I'm fine with it, but I'm just like... It's not my type of... It's not rock and roll. Guys, it's not... And whenever they act like they're going to go
what about
in rock
like
and
Alicia
roll?
Keys? But she has more...
Alicia Keys is a freaking producer, and she can freaking rock, and she does many genres, and she jives.
What about Norah Jones?
And she plays piano. Norah Jones is awesome. That's a jazz singer.
Yeah.
That's different than going up there and being like... I don't know.
Like Christina Aguilera.
Carrie Underwood or like... Or, you know, any one of those is just sort of just like... Instead of being able to play an instrument, they got to just... I'm nothing against dancing, but they're just like Britney Spears, basically. I'm sorry, Ellie out there.
But what I'm saying is like, basically last story on the Whitney death is that it saddens me that somebody had a talent and they just kind of let it go. I feel like she could have done more after that Bodyguard song.
That really makes me miss Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, I actually miss Brittany Murphy. Out of like all the celebrities to die young type thing, I miss Brittany Murphy and Heath Ledger. Like, those are probably my top ones that I miss. But, I mean, Whitney Houston did have her time. You know, she had her spotlight. But it was almost like somewhere along the way, and this is a long time ago, in certain eyes, it's almost like she died a while ago. You know, she hasn't been like the Whitney that everyone treasures. She hasn't been that for like 10 or 15 years. So, you know, maybe she's been dead for a while.
And would she be able to?
Possibly. If she took good care of herself. Like I said, if she took good care of herself, you know, ate the right foods, you know, had a stable family, trained her voice properly, she could have had her own, like, Vegas-style show or some type of thing where, you know, or a comeback tour.
She probably won't be, like, a number one... Or something like
probably
that.
Not like, you know, the styles come and change and stuff like that, but she would always have her fan base. Like, her fan base is probably if she was to withhold that, like the way Celine Dion has her Vegas show and her fans come to her, I feel like she could have been the way Celine handled it, and I feel like Celine has a better career moves, I guess, to put it that way. But I feel like Whitney Houston could have had a more stable lifestyle, and she did not. She got sucked into the dark side, unfortunately, and this is where she ends up. You know, so basically, what we're gonna have to deal with is for the next couple days just tributes to Whitney Houston. and then everyone's saying how great she is, and then we move on to the next celebrity that dies.
The next celebrity death. Is that the era we're going to live in now? Okay, who's the next one to die? And then who do you think the next one's going to die, Carolyn? Which is the next celebrity you think is going to die?
Don't answer that question. Last time I said Michael Jackson was going to die, and he died. So...
Well, he's gone, so we can't really return back to
that. And actually, in living in this generation of, like, you know, we're now in the, 24/7 news cycle and, like, the Twitter age, it is pretty amazing how, like, fast the word gets out. And, like, even with Michael Jackson, like, that was such a huge news story, like, live.
And you gotta think about that. Even back when Michael Jackson did die, the internet and the world were still so different, too. That's how fast things have gone.
That was, like, 2 years ago.
And, like, there was no Twitter to tweet that?
No, there was.
Was there?
There was Twitter.
Oh, I wasn't on Twitter at that point. But it wasn't as today, you know what I mean? It wasn't, everyone wasn't hashtagging the hell out of things.
I don't know. It was still in that era.
It wasn't as big, though.
It wasn't as... the thing was...
That was like 3 years. That was 3 years ago.
It was like two and a half. Almost
don't
three.
Don't get technical on me. That's 3 years ago.
No, I'm just trying to think of, like... They had hashtags and stuff, but it was almost like
what
nowadays...
What I'm saying is think about today and think about then.
Nowadays, there's more people on Twitter. And younger people. So
3 years is a long time.
And also, like,
world.
Teenagers and stuff, they don't know who Whitney Houston is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, small bit kills me cause just to know that somebody, like, got to the level where they were getting national, you know, global attention for their talent, and they just let it slip like that.
Yeah, but see, at the end of the day, also another factor is... entertainment and media, you know, they chew you up and they spit you out.
That's true.
They chew you up, spit you out, and it's also really hard for a lot of people to...
hold that for so long.
It's like, how do you hold on to that? You know what I mean?
It would be really hard. You basically can't, especially in this day
and
age.
Also, then everyone already, like, will assume that you're a rich motherfucker, too. So they won't... There's that attitude of, like, well, you should be a big shot. You know, you had this. What happened to all your millions? And they belittle you, and then you feel even worse. And then how are you supposed to be creative in all that time, too?
Yeah, it's interesting. Because even, I don't know if you ever got a chance to, like, listen to that Paul Feig interview. I forget who was interviewing him. But did you ever get a chance to listen to that? Basically, like, he's the director of Bridesmaids, and... He was saying that it's really hard to come up with something next. Because everyone's, like, looking at him, being like, so what's next?
Yeah.
Like, they want, like, the next big hit. And he wants to live up to that, too. Because to me, that feels like a whole lot of pressure. So that's, like, first of all, he's been working, like, his whole life to, like, have a big hit.
Yeah.
And also, he created Freaks and Geeks, my favorite TV show. And, you know, when Freaks and Geeks came out, people did watch it, but it was more like a cult-style hit. It wasn't like everybody was watching it, and it got canceled after the first season. So it's like, you know, here he's been in the industry for a long time. He's been working hard. He has yet to have, like, a mega hit. Then when the mega hit rolls around, which was, like, an unexpected mega hit, and also, like, a genre revolutionary mega hit, Bridesmaids, now everyone's, like, dependent on him making hits.
Instantly, the next day, they're like, okay, what do you got? And they're like, oh, you know, more. When that's
so demanding.
And that's what's always, like, you're going to embrace that time. And I'm always just like, well, that's, I always feel like, I always say, like, when you're coming up and you you don't want to do all these interviews and people are hounding you and they want stuff. I always say, like, well, the bigger you get, the more it's going to, the more you got to deal with the media, the more you got to deal with the hounding. So if you don't like it now, you better get out.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to treat that, you got to get out.
Well, also, like, think about even having, like, a huge song like Whitney Houston had, or, like, creating, like, a huge thing like Matt Groening has The Simpsons. Like, people are always going to look up to you, be like, so, oh yeah, that episode was good. Can you top that? And, like, can you top this? It's basically like climbing this mountain that's, like, never, like, it's like this, you don't even know where the peak is.
And you know what really happens is everyone just becomes ungrateful for the work that you've put in there. They become accustomed to you always having to do that, make the hits. And then once you do it, they're in all honesty, unless they really love you, unless you're really fans, people who are just looking at you as a spectacle, they're waiting for you to fail. Because remember when we watched
Justin Bieber?
No, the other one. I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here.
Or I'm Not Here. Or the Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Remember, like, all the people were, like, making fun of him and stuff like that. That's actually a good examination of I guess, that level of sensationalism and fame. You know, people are always going to hound you. They're always, a story can completely run without you and ruin your career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is very interesting. And also, you know, I was going to had that metaphor for, like, climbing the mountain and not knowing where the peak is.
Climbing the mountain.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I wonder if in, like, these people's careers, if they look back, like, you know, 5-10 years later, you know, they're in the, like, right now, like, Paul Feig, for example, is in, like, I'd say that, I'm not saying he's peaking, but, like, he's in the top of his career, you know, and who knows what he's going to do next. Maybe the next movie will be just as big as Bridesmaids or bigger. And, you know, then he'll be, like, you know, on this steady, you know, he's in this good, he's in a good period right now. He's in like, this ultra creative, like, spectacle period right now. You know, who knows where it's going to go. But let's say, like, 10 years from now, you look back, like, what if, because right now he doesn't know where his peak is. Bridesmaids could be his peak. Or, you know, more can come. Or more can even come, you know, maybe 10 years from now he has another big movie. Like, who knows how it's going to chart. But, like, for example, now that we've talked about her, like, Whitney Houston, you know, like, when she had that Bodyguard song, did she know at that time that that was going to be the peak? Or, like, did, you know, all along...
If that was the peak.
If that even was the peak.
I don't know what came out after that.
The sad thing is, she's going to be known for her drugs. That's the other sad thing. It's like, oh, what do you remember of Whitney Houston? Like, you remember I Will Always Love You, National Anthem, and drugs.
I'm going to disagree with that, though.
Okay.
Because as more time goes by, she's not going to be remembered for the drugs because the work is already there. That's cemented in time. That's why I feel it's so important for people out there to make work that they believe, because that can never be unmade.
That is true.
But if you die of drugs, whatever, that I believe that will fade away, because no matter what, yeah, I can look back at Elvis and be like, okay, he died on the toilet.
Yes.
But you know what? I go back and I go right to the work. Right to all the gifts that he gave us.
That's true.
And you know what I mean? That's the stuff that sticks with me. It's like, yeah, because everyone dies, and everyone dies somehow. That's a true and honest that's a true and honest way. People will die. How are they going to die? Blah, blah, blah. What do you do here? That's what really sticks. How'd you leave your mark?
That is true, and
if people waste their time and they don't leave their mark on somebody or someplace, it's sort of like, well, then what were you doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's almost like, don't waste your time. Do what you need to get done, because who knows when you will get a drug addiction or you do get that. You know what I mean? And well, sometimes also, people made the best music while on drugs.
Another thing is, like, for example, because I was talking to my mom about all this stuff too. Like, for the example of Amy Winehouse, I'm pretty sure my mom has never heard Amy Winehouse music, but she knows all about the drugs.
Oh, but yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's like, well...
It's like, but here you have, like, the people that don't pay, like, my mom doesn't pay attention to music. So, but then you hear everywhere just by basic living, like, that Amy Winehouse dies and she's a big druggie. And she, like, abused her body and stuff.
But see, you can't take in a factor just, like, the passerbys. Because they're not the people that
they're
are going to
love
like,
you. They're not the, like, people that are, like, going to be music historians.
Because it's sort of just like, well, you weren't going to listen to the music anyway. So it's not
That's
like...
That's true.
At the end of the day, it's
but
like,
at,
well...
But to those people, these people are known as druggies.
Yeah, but at the same time, someone's going to be like, well, why should we care that she died of drugs? Well, listen to her music. That's why she got to that point. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, well, there's a reason why that's so tragic. There's a reason why this is such a... You know what I mean? It's because they inspired so many. They touched so many. That's why them dying like this is tragic, or it's horrible, or it's funny, or whatever.
But it's also a reminder to everybody, as much as, you know, we wish these people were around a little bit longer, it's a reminder to people to first of all, not do drugs.
Yeah, I mean, really, at the end of the day, fucking, I don't want to be Mr. Straight Edge or Mr. Dare, but, you know, what the fuck? You're wasting so much money on drugs, and it's such an obvious thing. You can't get your addictions in check.
And it's not
It's fucking some lame-ass shit, and I really want to murder every one of those people that are out there. Here, take these drugs, you want some drugs. Anyone who starts to start all that shit, I don't know. I mean, it's horrible, but it's really fucking lame, guys.
Yeah.
Think of something new. I'm not gonna be Mr. like, don't ever do drugs or get off, don't do this and that. But listen, use your fucking brain, man.
This is your brain on drugs.
No, but like, really, like, when it comes to the seriousness, let's think of the world as a payoff. Is that fucking payoff really worth it? Serious. You go, you can eat. I mean, it's like this. You have a hamburger, you're going to eat that, tastes good, you know what I mean? But you, if you keep eating that hamburger, you're going to get fat and you're going to die. If you keep eating, like, millions of those things, it's like, but you know for a fact the cigarettes are going to fuck up your lungs, man. You're going to stink. Your breath is going to smell. Your clothes are going to smell. You have addictions to feed. I'm not going to say, I have millions of people that smoke. But just don't fucking start smoking so you don't have to waste your thousands and millions of dollars on that shit. And you can smoke candy cigarettes if I fucking care. Just don't fucking kill yourself, man. I hate suicide, and every single time anyone does any of that shit, that's one step closer to suicide. You're a fucking idiot. If you keep on thinking like, oh, I'm going to do this, I have no reason. Why are people starting that? Lame. All you guys are fucking lame.
To me, there's
guys.
I can't even think of any positive of smoking, to be honest with
you. No, just really like anything in general. To me, I'm probably, you know, and if you do it, fine. I'm not gonna tell you not to do it, but those people who haven't started yet, think of like the real outcome. Think of the alternatives out there. You know what I mean?
It all leads to dying.
But it's just like, look at this. This person died. Amy Winehouse died of drugs. Whitney Houston probably died of drugs. Brittany Murphy probably died of drugs. All these other wrestlers or whatever, people of the world died of drugs. Is that, I mean, smoke, dying of smoking. I don't know. Just think about it. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but just look at the fucking outcome. Think of an alternative. If you want to smoke, you know, think of this. You're wasting so much fucking money on that.
Why don't you just eat carrots instead?
You don't have to eat carrots. You can eat whatever you want. You can be a fucking vegan. I don't give a flying fuck. But at the same time, it's like being a vegan, you're probably not going to die. Well, do you want to die?
Karen Carpenter was anorexic and she only ate carrots.
Let me ask the world this. If you're going to die, do you want to die of cigarettes and drugs? Or do you want to die fucking like fighting aliens in the war and battle and shit like that? I don't know. Think of a better alternative to die from. Because usually when you die of an overdose or anything like that, it looks fucking pathetic. I'm sorry. When you die of anything involving drugs or a suicide, to me, honestly, it's fucking pathetic. You know? Because that's self-inflicted. So it's almost just like, don't give me that bullshit that you're depressed or you have like whatever that you've diagnosed with any modern sort of sickness. Bullshit. Utter bullshit. Take control of your fucking life, man.
You gotta get through the pain.
Take control of your fucking life. Get up and do something. I'm sorry. You don't feel like you're in the mood for it? I've had to deal with so many people have flaked me out because they were tired and weren't in the mood for it. But every fucking morning, I'd wake up at 4:30 and still go to my job and still do it as best as I can. Even if I fell asleep at 3 o'clock. You know, and I'm happy to be in the position I am because I'm growing progressively. But anyone else who doesn't want to get up and do something with their life, fuck you.
One of my friends, Elizabeth, told me...
I apologize if I'm pissed off, but, you know, that's just how the life is.
She said... One of the main things about life is just being there.
Yeah, half of it is just
half
showing
of
up.
It, you just like as long like even though okay in the morning you might not want to go to work, that's fine, but you're still gonna get up and go to work, commute, go to work, and once you get to work, you're gonna want to work.
You know what? And also like you know, it's probably contradictory at this point, but yeah, Whitney Houston busted her ass and made the music that she did, and then went into drugs. But at least she made the music that she did. And it got out there.
And
what
like,
have you
my,
done?
My first point based on her death is it is and everyone's death that is like, you know, a surprise, you know, or died too soon, let's say, is that first of all, that point of don't do drugs. Second of all, I just wanna it's also a reminder that if
and
you're
also
given
I think it's
a
so
gift
old too. It's old.
If you're given what I was saying is that if you're given a gift, you should use it, because everybody has something to offer. Everybody. You know, you could be great at cutting hair. You could be really great at making people laugh. You could be great at, you know, styling people's clothes. I don't know what else I can name. But you can be great at making furniture. You could be great at playing guitar. You could be great at, like analyzing people's tax returns. You know, you can be actually great at certain things. And I think that you should use that gift as long as you enjoy doing it, especially. Like, if you love to sing or if you love to do something, go out there and make it happen. Go out there and make some songs and cut some records and get out there, you know, or do whatever you need to do that makes you happy, that you are using your gift, because everyone does have something to offer. And I feel like, you know, the best thing to do is keep creating. If you stop, then the magic stops.
You know, and I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm looking back at, like, the statement I just ranted about, and then a lot of people have created some great work under the influences of drugs. And I'm not... that's purely how it's happened sometimes. All my,
like,
some of my favorite, like,
give
probably...
Give some examples. Well,
you know, Chili Peppers, the probably but Jane's Addiction at the same time, and Jimi Hendrix, probably all... I don't
now
know.
Now, these are more rock stars, though. It's a little different.
Well, yeah, like, even artists, you know, sometimes you gotta be depressed, you gotta have pain to do it. But what I'm saying is this. I'm Mr. Anti-Suicide. Don't kill yourself. Fight for your own life. If you have to go through those problems, just don't kill yourself.
Everybody has problems.
Don't kill yourself.
Like I've said, I've used this analogy before. Everyone has problems. Like a homeless person has problem because tonight they don't have food and they're out there looking for a sandwich. That's their problem. A person can walk right by them, be thinking in their head about they have a book deal and they're like, what's my book cover going to look like? That's my big problem. I can't decide what my book cover is going to look like. You know, and then it just goes on and on. Everybody has their own level of problem. You know? So,
yeah.
Basically, what I'm saying is that even if you think that you have it the worst right now, like, maybe you're having a fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you're like, this is the worst right now, I feel the worst in my life. There's always somebody out there that has it even worse. Like, somebody out there has it worse. There are people in Africa that are just trying to, like, load up their head full of gallons of water, and then they get raped just by going about their everyday life.
So just don't stop living, man. Don't quit. Just find whatever you can do to keep on living. If you feel depressed, make artwork. Make anything.
Make some, like, life out of the depression. Because actually, yeah. That's, like, a lot of people make, you know, movies or books or stories or something creative out of something in the past that wasn't so great. Like, for example, Raina Telgemeier wrote Smile after she knocked out her front two teeth, and then growing up in her life, you know, she had to wear all these metal device or, you know, teeth devices and different crazy, like, orthodontic stuff while she was, like, in her adolescence, like, growing up, and that's probably horrible. And she made a book out of it, and now she, like, has an Eisner Award.
Yeah, use that. Use that pain. I mean, like, Scorsese made Raging Bull to get out of, like, cocaine addiction and all that stuff. So use that the best you can. Just like how we use this podcast to get to vent, to let and to share you, you know, our feelings as a team or as a singularity, whatever you want to say. That's why we're here for. I mean, we try to answer people's questions as best as we can. We did find out pesto is actually green. Sorry, Anthony. And I did actually have pesto on a salad this week on a shoot.
So now you know what pesto is.
Yeah.
We have actually learned things.
I don't exactly know if that would be better on pizza, though. I'm probably going to think that it should stay because we did order Papa John's because you won that Super Bowl contest, the heads or tails.
The coin toss.
Yeah, the coin toss. And we ordered that free pizza, but you ordered it online for the first time ever.
Yeah, that was quite an experience because you can order your toppings, and it's a, like, virtual pizza, and then the toppings get sprinkled on the pizza.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking about that? You could just go there and keep playing with it and not actually order the pizza.
But also what's crazy is you can order in advance.
You can order, what was it, up to 21 days in advance or something?
You can order pizza every freaking day, man.
You could order a pizza, like, pretty much a month in advance to be like, oh, I want this pizza delivered 21 days from now.
How great is that?
It's pretty amazing.
That, man. I want pizza right now.
Dude, you know what I could do? Order the pizza and it would, like, show up at your house and you wouldn't even know when the pizza was coming. And then the doorbell rings and the pizza comes to your house.
Since the day that this show launches, it's on Valentine's Day. They have a heart pizza. I guess we should wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day week. I hope everyone out there has some sort of Valentine. If not, it's not so bad. The chase is actually pretty interesting, too. both sides of the coin is pretty interesting.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I just realized that this is the Valentine's Day episode, and we're supposed to be talking about love, but instead we talk about death.
Or Whitney Houston.
Or Whitney Houston dying.
And I will always love you. There you
so
go, guys.
Everybody,
happy Valentine's week.
Have a happy Valentine's Day. We love you. Keep listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show every Tuesday.
The show is brought to you by StraightProductions.com, sponsored by Curls-Studio.com. Check out Magic Bullet. Go vote for Curls on the comics.
CartoonistStudio.com.
That's right. Follow us on Twitter at Carolyn Bilewski, at Astray J. Go visit AstrayProductions.com. I already said all that.
Like us on Facebook.
Like us. Wait, we're not even on Facebook. Maybe we should be.
Follow us on Twitter.
Catch you all next week. See you later, Carolyn.
Love.
Love. The kind of human wreck is that you love me.